Let us pray. Father, help me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever experienced yourself or seen someone experience determining in their mind that they were going to do a thorough job cleaning their car or their house? I mean, you get your disinfect, your brushes, your paper towels, you have your cleaning clothes on, and you just go for it. You just determined that you was going to clean this car thoroughly, this house thoroughly, only for your spouse or your son or daughter or someone to come along and say, hey, you missed the spot. Wouldn't that just aggravate your spirit that you just took the time out to do your level best in cleaning out the refrigerator or the car, and someone comes along and say, hey, you missed the spot? Well, it's even better with the saints of God. For we can say today, Satan, you missed the spot. Job chapter 2, verses 3 through 10, we're going on to our second round. As you can see, we don't have time to go through the first and second round, so that's why we did what we did through the Old Testament reading. Satan missed the spot. I just want to talk to you. I'm going to read, expound, explain, and do some expository exegesis of the passage. We just thank the Lord for all of you. Due to the time, I won't get into name calling, but we just thank God for everyone that has come out. Certainly my mother and our friend Jackie, friend of a family. And the Lord said unto Satan, this second round, as the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and we know the devil was doing his job, going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And the Lord said unto the adversary, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still hold fast his integrity, his innocence, his loyalty to God. It is said that our character is who we are when we're in public and when people can see us. But our integrity is who we are when nobody's looking. But God was bragging on Job. Question, can God brag on you today? Because God is bragging on Job here in the text, and it says, although thou movest me against him. Now, have you ever thought that Satan could move God against you? It's in the text. I know it goes against our theology or our conventional knowledge, but it says here, although thou movest me against him to destroy him, to bring him down, to tear him down. You know, the devil come but to steal, kill, and destroy. I don't care who you are, where you come from, what your age is, whether you're illiterate, literate, educated, uneducated, rich or poor, fat, skinny, tall or small, Jew, Gentile, Chinese, Japanese, North Philly, West Philly, South Philly, suburbs, the devil, your adversary, Satan, is trying to destroy you. He's trying to wipe you out. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, hide for hide. Job's hide, Job's life for his children and his servants. In other words, he says it here, yea, all that a man had will he give for his life. In other words, Satan said, okay, you allowed me to touch his wealth, but I'm still not convinced that he's the man that you say that he is. Because anybody, I'll give up somebody and their things for their life. I'm not impressed is what Satan is saying. But God, in the first round, he allowed them to touch his wealth. And some of you are like that today. Some of you, God has given over into Satan's hand to touch your wealth, to touch your stocks, your CDs, and your bonds. I don't care who you are. All of us have trouble in this life. A man that is born of a woman is but few days and full of trouble. In this life, you either headed for trouble, in trouble, or coming out. But the good news is that you're coming out. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I know the enemy has touched your wealth. I know that you thought you would be further up the road in 2007, especially those of you that had a couple of more birthdays than the rest of us. You thought you would be sitting pretty by now, drawing a pension, sitting on Myrtle Beach somewhere, with your legs up basking in the sun, with CDs and at least $250,000 in the bank by now. But no, some of you are broken in Job's turkey. But the issue here is today is to maintain your integrity. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. People are supposing that godliness, that great gain is godliness. Be content with what you have, yet not so satisfied that you can't get back up again and that God can't restore your economics and finances. Satan is a liar. You're wealthy, wealthy spiritually. You're wealthy in faith, wealthy in hope, wealthy in joy. And don't let the devil steal your joy. You know what it is? You know what joy stands for? The J in joy stands for Jesus. The O in joy stands for nothing. And the Y in joy stands for you. Don't let nothing get between Jesus and you. That's how you keep your joy. So you lost your job. Don't lose sleep. Let God lose sleep. He that keepeth Israel never what? Slumber or sleep. Get you Psalm 3. Get you Psalm 4. Get you Proverbs 3:24. It talks about being sleeping in peace. Now I lay me down to sleep. That's where we get that from. I don't have time to get into it. But go to sleep. Why? Because he said, David said, I've been young and now I'm old, but I ain't never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed breaking bread. You know you're in right standing with God, hold to it. Because the devil's job is to accuse you before God and God before you. Now you see, if God really loved you, you wouldn't have had a miscarriage. If God really loved you, you would be pregnant by now. If God really loved you, your son wouldn't have cerebral palsy. But you know what Job said? Naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now we have some theologians and preachers that say the Lord don't give, the Lord don't take, the Lord is not an Indian giver. But the text says, and what Job was saying, and this is what God is trying to get you and I to do. Whether Job knew about Satan or not, the text doesn't tell us. But one person Job knew, and that was his God, and that his God was faithful, and that he was sovereign, and that he does what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it. And everything comes from God. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. And Job knew that his God would supply all his needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Job knew his God, and he was confident of who his God was. And you have to be confident to know that God never let the devil outdo him or his people. He will restore the years the cankerworm, the palmer worm, the locusts have eaten up. You know what the Lord told me when I lost my job 11 years ago? Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Christianity is the best, if you will, religion, relationship that you can ever have. Because you're loaded with benefits. You can't get a better benefit package. Free salvation, a gift of salvation, eternal life, in the life to come, and the full orb life, abundant life here. He'll bless your socks off. You're talking about God, an almighty God, an omnipotent God, an omnipresent God, an all-knowing God. God knows your plight. He has you in his sight. I know it's heavy. That's heavy. That is heavy. That is heavy. That is heavy that God would allow you to be in Satan's hands. Wow. Another wow for I'm not even halfway through. And I'm not going to tell you how much time I have. But put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. So he touched his wealth first. Now he wants to touch Job's body. He said, okay, you said he's a righteous man, he's loyal to you, but touch his body. And that's what Satan has done. He has touched some of you in here body, and some of us that belong to the church body, those that are not here even today. With diabetes, with high blood pressure, low blood pressure, emphysema, various diseases. He has touched your body. But you know what you have to do? Regardless of whether your body is racked with pain, you can't hardly get up in the morning, can't hardly go to sleep at night. Sometimes don't know whether you're coming or going with Arthur. You know who Arthur is, arthritis. But you got to say like David, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I don't care what comes, what goes. You stand on the word of God and maintain your integrity. But put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet unto his crown. Imagine being smote by Satan with the permission of God, with boils from head to toe. And the Bible says, and he took a potsherd and scraped himself, and he sat down among the ashes. Now, we don't know whether he sat down among the ashes of his own house, because his house was burnt, his children's house was burnt down and destroyed, and the ashes of his cattle and the ashes of his servants. Or did he go out of the gates of the city and sat in the ashes of the infirmary? But whatever he did, he sat in the ashes. And the Bible says that he took a potsherd and start peeling off the scabs of, from his boils on his body. Racked with pain. Can you imagine yourself laying up in the hospital? You can't talk. You can't walk. You can't hardly lift your finger. Because the enemy has touched your body and told God, if you let me touch a body, if you let me touch his body, if you let me strike him with diabetes, if you let him let me strike him with a stroke, watch them curse you to your face and die. And then on top of that, then said his wife unto him. Now, why do you think Satan didn't take the wife? Now, there's no one closer to you in this earth than your husband and your wife. And that is the most sanctifying process in terms of an entity, in terms of the marriage institution, in terms of an institution that one can go through. Because can't nobody rub you right and can't nobody rub you wrong like your spouse, if you will. And the spouses say, y'all on your own. I said enough. Then said his wife, dost thou retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Now curse God and die. It is mentioned about cursing God three times. Job's children, Satan said it, and the wife said it. And on all three accounts, it means Barak. It's the same word for blessing. In other words, it's a euphemism. And a euphemism is to avoid saying or writing something direct, harsh and unpleasant, or offensive by using milder or more indirect language. In other words, is it really a way that you can tell your parents to shut up? Husbands, is it really a way that you can tell your wife to lose weight without telling her she's fat? Wow, I know that's kind of, see how straightforward, see words is all according to how you word it. And so in the ancient Near East time, your loyalty to a king meant everything. Your life, mind you. And so when you would go before a king, and God is King of Kings, you were careful as to how you approached that king and what you said. And your job was to exalt that king's power and dominion and throne and let that king know that he is the man. Is it a way that you can tell a police officer he's wrong who's about to give you a ticket? Is it a way to tell the judge off who has your next 20 years of your life in his hands or her hands? So what they were saying is, why don't you just tell God how wrong he is, because you've been living righteous, you've been living all you know how, as you say, Job. And later on, Job says, he testifies and said, I never looked on another woman, another man's wife. My eyes looked straight. I didn't have lust. You know, I was living all I knew how, later on in the text. But his wife comes along and said, why don't you just curse God and die? In other words, why don't you just speed up your death? It's inevitable. Why don't you just get on your knees and tell God, now, God, I've been serving you all these years, and I loved you, and I gave my life to you, and I've been perfect and upright and just, and for you to do this is unjust. You're not fair, God. So that would have been questioning who God really is as it relates to him being sovereign. Being Lord, being able to do any and everything. See, we want God to annihilate evil and annihilate Satan. But no, he allows Satan to do what he does to test you. We already gave you the list to refine you so that you can become more like Christ. You know what the Bible says? For as much as Christ have suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise. For he that have suffered in the flesh have ceased from sin, that he may no longer live in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. In other words, you're going to have to suffer in this life. You're going to have to go through. It's no getting around it. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, you accepted suffering. No cross, no crown. You're going to have to go through your go through. And what that passage means is arm yourself. A lot of times I know we proof text, we get all these scriptures about sufferings, but this is the greater context. And you got to realize that the Bible says that we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are thee called according to his purpose. But don't stop there. One of the greatest suffering passages in all of Bible is right here. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, who's the firstborn of many brethren. The number one thing God is trying to do, God was in Christ reconciling himself to the world. He has already reconciled you to the Father, reconciled you with your relationships here on earth. But God wants to conform you to his son. You're becoming more like Jesus. Don't despise. Don't reject. Don't disdain your sufferings and your going throughs. And fall back into the sins that you were into before you were a Christian or while you were a baby Christian. What that scripture is saying is you cease from sin. When you suffered in the flesh and when you realize you know what it means to suffer like Christ, because if you're going to suffer with him, you're going to reign with him. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but glorify God on that behalf. When you realize and recognize that the suffering of this present life is not worthy to be compared of the glory that you're going to experience in the life to come, that just one moment in glory will pay for it all. When you can get to that place and say, I don't care what comes or go. I don't care if I lose my car. I don't care if I lose my house. If my wife walk off and leave me, if I lose everything, if I'm laying on my bed and can't move my hands, I'm just going to praise God. I'm going to worship God. I'm not going back to the things that I used to do. In other words, when you can get to the place that you can go through your go through without relapsing, without going back to the thing that you know best. In other words, when I used to, as a Christian in my younger days and still can get tempted today, when I suffered, the first thing I want to do is put up my dukes because that's what I was best at doing. When you suffer because you were an alcoholic, that's not an excuse to go get a drink. I'm talking about this hard liquor drink, Tanqueray, vodka, and gin without a chaser. There is no excuse for you to go back on drugs. There is no excuse, man, for you to slap your wife because your father used to beat your mother because your wife is, might be talking too much, but it's not your place to slap her physically. I had planned to go another way today. But I better tell you. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one, a foolish woman speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? Now that evil is not talking about moral evil. Because God is good. He's holy. He's perfect. There's nothing evil morally about God. But that's talking about opposition, calamity, trials, and tribulations. And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Now, I'm going to have to do this in a nutshell. I'm almost finished. You have to realize, you and I, that Satan, who was Lucifer, who was an angel of God, a cherub of God, had a spot in heaven. The Bible says that he was made perfect. He was created perfect. He had pipes coming out of his throat. gold and silver and carbuncle and all the fine metals that you can name, and time won't allow me to name them. But the Bible lets us know, Ezekiel 28, that he was perfect, made perfect. In other words, made perfect in all that he was designed to do. In other words, he was a worship leader in heaven, as we believe theologically, and that he worshiped God. But the Bible says that he was perfect until iniquity was found in him, because he got lifted up in pride. In other words, God made the angels complete and perfect in which he designed them to do, be messengers and worshipers, but with the ability to sin. We don't know how a holy sin got in a holy heaven with a holy God. We don't know we don't have the full understanding of that. But we know somehow, some way, he made the angels with the possibility or allowing them to sin. And so he had a spot in heaven. He was a worshiper. But one day he decided, I will exalt myself over the throne of God. I will be like the Most High. I will be above the stars of God, which stars mean angels. I will sit in the midst of the congregation on the north. And God, the Bible lets us know that God's throne is towards the north. Now, I don't know if he was envious of the sun, the glory of the sun, because we know in Isaiah 6, the angels cried, holy, 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 Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And we know the Trinity is in glory. But whatever you choose to believe, whether he was trying to take the Father spot, the Son spot, because they are God, three in one and one in three, he wanted to be like the Most High, and more or less, he wanted to be the Most High. And the Bible lets us know that he attempted to hit God's spot. And the Bible says that war broke out in heaven between God and his angels. Michael, the war chief, the war angel, and Lucifer and his angels. And Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. But what he did was he hit a spot. And the spot he hit was a third part of the angels, according to Revelation chapter 12. So all of this started in heaven. All of this began in heaven. Then the Bible lets us know, and time won't allow me to expound on it, but the Bible lets us know that when he was kicked out of heaven and came down on the earth, the Bible lets us know that God formed man from the dust of the ground, body, the flesh, the carcass, the mundane, and breathed into man's nostril the breath of life, spirit. We're made in the image of God, spirit. And man became a living soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions. It's what makes you desire your favorite ice cream, desire a woman, desire a man. Your soul is you. You don't have a soul and it's out there wavering somewhere. No, your soul is you. Your body is you, the real you. The Bible says that when a person die, their spirit go back to God. And their body go to the dust. And your soul either goes to heaven or hell. And the Bible lets us know that, fast forwarding, that Adam and Eve sinned. How did they sin? Satan hit a spot. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and they disobeyed God. And the Bible lets us know that they were kicked out of the garden. And that's grace and mercy right there. God put flaming swords around the cherubs. Cherubs from the swaying sword around the tree of life to preserve Adam and Eve, lest they live in the state of death for all of eternity. And so he hit a spot and separated Adam and Eve from God, and God drove them out of the garden. And perhaps today, as we close, he hit a spot with you. He hit a spot with you and I. Perhaps he has hit your wealth, and that's a spot. Perhaps God has allowed him to hit your health, and that's a spot. He uses people and circumstances and situations to hit you, to smote you. When it says he smote them with bulls, that means hit. The enemy is hitting you on every hand. If it ain't one thing, it's another. Trial after trial. But you have to say like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. If a man, if a woman, if a boy, if a girl die, shall he or she live again all the days of my appointed time? I'm going to wait until my change come. You got a change coming. Brother Sam, you got a change coming. In terms of employment, stand on it, believe it, receive it from God. He can hit you spiritually. He can use people to hit you emotionally and financially, and they are spots. But there is a spot that's the spot that's that the saints have that the that Satan cannot touch. Him and his devils, his angels. And that spot is your soul. That spot is your soul. With God's permission, he can hit, he can touch everything we have. He even can take our lives at times. But I'm talking about the Christian, the saint, but the spot he can touch is your eternal soul. And that's what you and I have to value. Keep your integrity. Job said, I'm not going to lie. Just to get back prosperity, because the Jews believe in retribution principle, that if you're righteous, you'll receive righteous. That if you sin, you'll receive curses. Job said, no, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to maintain my integrity and my loyalty to God. I'm going to tell the truth. I did not sin, but I'm going to wait for my change to come. I'm not going to fabricate the truth. I'm going to be loyal to God. It's not about me just being righteous and God giving me things, or me messing up and he cursing me. God is God, and he has a greater purpose for my life. And that's what you and I have to say. You got to say to yourself, what would it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What will you give in exchange for your soul? You don't want to lose your soul cursing God and turning your back on God. He can't touch your eternal soul. Why? Because before the foundations of the world, Jesus saved your eternal soul. And in closing, the latter end of Job was greater. The Bible says that he restored Job 12,000 cattle. He restored Job with 7 sons and 3 daughters. And the Bible says he lived, I believe, 140 years after that. 40 years is he lived about 4 or 5 generations after that and saw his children's children's children. Amen. Satan missed the spot. You need to be encouraged today that he can touch everything else with the permission of God. But as a true believer who has been picked out by God before the foundations of the world, predestined, your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, on your way to heaven, he can't touch your soul. One worldly writer wrote a song, and it went like this: can't touch this. He can't touch your soul. Be encouraged to know that today. I just went somewhere, whatever my note said, that was fine. But I pray that your souls were blessed today. Amen. Amen. Amen.